And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Jake, you've got a unique way that you're funding your rental purchases. Tell me what you're doing.
Yeah, so basically what we've created is a money-generating machine. So we buy a flip, and that kind of generates us a pile of cash that we can then use to purchase rentals.
Walk me through exactly how that works.
So when I look at a deal, we kind of decide if it's going to be a good flip or a good rental. And, you know, if it's a flip, then that'll just generate us money to get a rental. And, you know, once I buy that rental, we've got a cash flow for the rest of my life.
That actually makes a lot of sense. And on the podcast today, Jake is going to walk us through exactly how this works. We'll take a look at one of his flips. We'll see how much money he made and then how he took that money and bought a rental property with it. We're also going to take a look at his financing. We'll figure out how he's paying for everything. And we're also going to look at how he's finding deals. Joining us on the show today from Opelika, Alabama, is Jake Rowland. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Jake. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056. For a limited time, mention Rental Income Podcast, and Chaley will credit you back $250 at closing.
Rental Income Podcast.
Jake, let's start off by talking about your portfolio. What does your portfolio look like?
So right now we've got about 11 doors, and then plus we've got a little trailer park as well that's another 10 pads. But that, most of those are duplexes, single families, and then like one commercial property.
And with your house flipping, how often are you flipping houses?
We did about 5 last year. I think about the same the year before. So kind of try at least one every couple months.
So does it work out that every time you flip a house, you immediately buy a rental? Or do you just kind of build up cash and then buy a rental when you come across a good deal?
Yeah, obviously the target is to buy one every time, but you know, it's been difficult sometimes to find exactly the kind of neighborhoods that we want to target for our long-term holds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we may just be building up a pile of cash to use when we do come across a good rental.
Okay. And so the profit that you're making on the flips, is that a down payment to buy a rental, or are you able to buy houses outright?
We actually both. I mean, we started out, you know, it was just enough, maybe, you know, 30 or 40,000 that we've saved up from flips to do a good down payment. But a lot of the rentals that we're doing are also, we're kind of doing that BRRRR strategy where we buy, we'll rehab it. You know, we'll rent it out and then refinance it and pull all that capital back out so we can then kind of use that same 30 or 40,000 to buy another one and another one. So it kind of recycles.
Okay. Yeah. So your pile of money is just getting bigger and bigger. as time goes by. That's pretty awesome. So with the rentals, are you looking for properties that you're going to do a gut rehab to, or are they more paint and carpet type properties?
It depends. I mean, we'll honestly look at everything. So, you know, deals are kind of the hardest thing to come by. I feel like, you know, money, we can find private investors, we can find, you know, lenders, stuff like that. But so we've got money, but, you know, finding the deals is the hard part. So,
sure. Okay. Yeah. And then for the flips, is it the same thing that you'll look at gut rehabs, but you'll also look at maybe a flip where you just have to do kind of a minimal cleanup job to it?
Yeah, we used to be doing a lot more, you know, big rehab projects, but now, you know, because the market's so shifting a little bit, there's, you know, interest rates have been changing, stuff like that. We kind of don't really want to be caught doing a big rehab project that takes us 5 months to do. Been kind of focusing more recently here on more like carpet and paint, countertop kind of properties that we can do in 4 weeks or less.
Okay, so you'll buy the property, if you can get the work done in 4 weeks or less, the market probably isn't going to change that much in 4 weeks. So you can get that back on the market, and it just makes it a little bit less risky. That makes sense. Okay, so when you're looking at a property and you're trying to decide, okay, are we going to flip this or are we going to rent this? Like, how do you decide? Like, what makes a good rental and what makes a good flip?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody's strategy could be different, but ours at least is, as a general rule, like if it's 1,500 square feet or less, it may make a good rental. We don't really want a whole lot of rentals that are over 1,500 square feet. I've managed a few that are bigger than that. They have like two HVAC units. They've got, you know, a bigger roof. Just everything's more expensive. And generally the rent per square foot goes down, you know, the bigger it gets. So for our strategy, you know, if it's 1,500 square foot or less, it's probably going to be a good rental. And then on the other hand, if it's just too expensive, like if it's, you know, $250,000 or more in our market, it may make more sense to sell that and use that flip profit to buy a rental that's maybe sub 200, and we can get more rent for the, you know, buck basically.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, anything above 1,500 is tough as a rental. Like the numbers just start to break down. I've found in my experience too. Now, what about the neighborhood? Are there certain neighborhoods that you found are better for flipping and certain neighborhoods that are better for rentals?
Yeah. Well, we've got one neighborhood that we own like three rentals in. And we've actually, you know, we've flipped a couple right around the corner from there too, but it was kind of more of a, it was like a almost 2,000 square foot house, so it didn't make sense for our model. But we really kind of target specific neighborhoods that we think, you know, we can get really good tenants in. That's really important to us is getting, you know, most of them are B class neighborhoods, but all of our tenants have like over 700 credit score. They're great tenants. They want to be there because, you know, maybe they're only going to be here for a few years, don't want to buy a house. Maybe they're saving up to buy a house. You know, we're not getting a lot of bad tenants in the kind of, you know, neighborhoods that we want to hold rent. That just kind of is not our strategy. So,
okay, well, let's take a look at an example of how this has worked. So let's start with the flip property. So how did you, let's talk about a recent one that you've done. How did you find this property?
Yeah. So, we've got one pretty recently last year that we did. And it was in a newer neighborhood, so it didn't need a whole lot. We only put $11,000 into it. So we kind of just did new carpet, new LVP flooring. We painted it. I think we had to change the microwave. Like that was like pretty much it. But we got it from a wholesaler actually that we work with a lot. So it was kind of nice. They made money and we made money too. So
okay. And how much did you pay for that property?
So we bought it for $150,000.
Okay. And then how much was the rehab?
It was right over $11,000.
And are you doing the work yourself, or do you have contractors?
No, I mean, you know, every once in a while we'll do something over there. You know, we'll do some, you know, small repairs or painting or something like that. Yeah. But been trying to get away from that more recently. Now that we've got, you know, more capital to work with and stuff, we kind of focus on, you know, dollar per hour kind of stuff. So we don't really want to be doing something we could pay somebody $15 an hour to do.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Now, what about the financing for that? How did you finance that?
Yeah, that one was kind of easier because it was actually livable. You know, sometimes if they're not livable, you kind of have to pay cash. But this one was livable. It could appraise for more than we were paying for it. So we actually financed it with our credit union. And in order for my partner and I not to have to put any money into it ourselves, we actually got a buddy of ours that's kind of wanting to make some more passive kind of income on the flip, just lending us some money. So he gave us $50,000, which covered the down payment, the 20% down from the bank, and also covered the entire rehab portion. And we just kind of paid him a set interest rate for that. And we ended up selling the property after we rehabbed it for $220,000. So we made just under $20,000 each and paid our investor off as well.
Yeah, I mean, that is really pretty incredible. I mean, you found a wholesaler that had a property that they wanted to sell. You coordinated the financing. You coordinated getting the people to do the rehab. You didn't have to put any money into it. And at the end of the day, you walked away with about $20,000 and your partner walked away with about $20,000. That is really, really pretty awesome that it didn't take any money to do that, but now you've got a down payment to buy a rental property.
Yeah. So we took that $20,000 and we actually purchased another house in that neighborhood that I was talking about where we own three in. And it was a small house. It's only like 800 and something square feet. So it's really kind of maintenance free as far as it's vinyl siding, has a, it's pretty maintenance free as far as that goes. But we bought it for $95,000 and the only thing it needed was the kitchen to be finished. So we, you know, used that money to finish up the rehab part of it. And we got a tenant in there for $1,000 a month. And then we were able to refinance that and pull that entire $20,000 back out and, you know, keep buying more.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. So then did you use that $20,000 as your down payment initially when you bought the property?
Yeah, well, it was a combination of a few things. I mean, we used that $20,000, but we actually had to pay cash for that one because, it didn't have a kitchen for one thing. Another thing is, the seller really needed to close quickly. And so to accommodate that, we took that $20,000 and some other money we'd made from another flip and, actually took my truck in that was paid off and, got an auto loan for it.
Wow.
Pull out like 120% or whatever, or at least you could at the time. So pulled out an auto loan for that and was able to pay cash for the whole thing.
All right. Yeah. So you got creative. You saved some other money from other flips. You came up with the money, scraped pennies together, got the money to buy that property with cash, fixed it up. And then did you refi to get your money back then?
Yeah, then we, we refinanced it. So we paid $95,000 for it, and we spent a little less than $10,000, like fixing it up, finishing the kitchen and stuff. And then we refinanced it, and it appraised for like $135,000 or $138,000, somewhere around there. So we were able to get, you know, with that 80% loan to value, we were able to get more than enough to cover, to pay ourselves back completely from everything we put into it.
That's really incredible. So now you've got all your money back. You've got a rental. You've got it rented for $1,000 a month, and you're ready then to find the next property.
Yeah, and that's one in a neighborhood that we already own a couple in. So we want to hold those long term. I think it's a great, you know, B-side neighborhood, and it's close to downtown Opelika where we live, and it's like less than a mile from my house. And, I think it's a good place for appreciation potentially as well. So, yeah.
Now the downside, and this isn't really a downside, but like just something to keep in mind is that when you do the flip and you make a profit, when you go to the title company for that closing, when you sell the flip, they're going to give you a check for your profit. And you just got to make sure you're putting money aside for taxes, right? Because like they're not going to withhold anything. So you just got to keep that in mind that if you're going to reinvest that $20,000 into a property, you just put some money aside so you don't end up getting stuck at the end of the year. But I think that's I think that's really good. So now, how are you finding deals? Are you working with a lot of wholesalers to find these properties?
Yeah, we'll find some from wholesalers. I mean, there's a bunch of different wholesalers around here that put stuff out. Some are better than others, but you know, every once in a while they'll have a good deal. We also go direct to seller a lot. I mean, we'll cold call. We do a lot of driving for dollars, kind of more targeted stuff where we just drive past a house. Maybe it's got vines growing all over it. Looks like it's vacant. The grass is real tall, something like that. You know, we'll just look up the property info on tax records and find the owner and call them. And we've had success with that. My line is just, I just call them and I say, hey, you know, I've been looking at this house you've got, and I was just wondering if you'd ever thought about selling it. And that's a good conversation.
Just simple, direct, and to the point. I like that. So what were you doing before you started doing this? I mean, this sounds like you're a natural at this. What were you doing before?
I was doing that. I was a touring musician for a while.
Wow. Okay. So nothing related to real estate. I mean, like a touring musician is totally different from this. So like, how did going from a musician to getting into this, like what drove you to get into real estate?
Honestly, it was just, I thought I needed passive income and started doing some research and stuff, found a few podcasts like yours and, just started learning. There's so much free information out there. Yeah. It's incredible, but I mean, there's so much stuff on YouTube, podcasts.
Yeah.
You can learn anything and, real estate sounded interesting. My granddad had some rentals and had talked to me a little bit about it before. I kind of grew up around it. My parents had a couple that I helped them out with and, it was kind of handy. And so I was like, I'll that out and see. And it's been incredible. Like just how fast it can grow. And it really snowballs, especially when you do like that, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat strategy. Yeah.
Now, in addition to this machine that you've got running, you're also running an Airbnb out of a guest house that you have at your house. Tell me about that.
Yeah, my wife pretty much does everything for that. But it was something where, we just try to get creative and see what we can do with different properties. This was a house that really allowed us to buy the house that we're in now. Is it had a little guest house behind it, and it was actually already rented for $600 a month, like long-term, regular rental. And then when that got moved out, we kind of remodeled it, and my wife did some amazing decorating stuff to it, and we posted it on Airbnb, and we've gone from $600 a month to an average of like $2,000 a month.
Wow.
And way more than pays for our mortgage. And it's just been great.
That's great. And so is it booked every day or is that sporadically?
No, that's a good thing. Like used to, we had one dude that was living there all the time, which he was great. I'm not dissing him or anything, but now we've only got people there like pretty much every weekend. There's people there, but kind of rarely are they there during the week. So it's just, it's a little more private for us, but then, we've still got people there, just about every weekend.
And by having those weekend bookings, you're living for free. Like your mortgage is totally covered.
Yep.
That's incredible. Wow.
Backing, yeah.
Wow. So, and your wife handles everything. Does she do the cleaning and the booking or do you have people come in to do the cleaning?
Yeah. I mean, that's something we'll probably get at some point. Right now it's just been so easy. Cause it's right next to our house basically. So she's been doing the cleaning. I've got my couple chores that I'm supposed to do, but she does most of it. And then, you know, we only have to do it, you know, once a weekend usually. So it's not that big of a deal.
What a great story. In addition to Jake's Airbnbs, rentals, and flips, he's also an investor-friendly realtor. And if you're interested in learning more about investing in Opelika, Alabama, reach out to Jake. I think he'd be a great contact for you. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode420. I'd like to welcome a brand new sponsor to the podcast. It's Rent Savvy. Rent Savvy is the first and only nationwide service for filling your property for a one-time flat fee. It's a really interesting service. If you want to check it out, go to rentsavvy.com. I'd also like to thank Ridge Lending Group for making this episode possible. Chaley Ridge is offering a $250 credit if you close a loan with her. Just mention Rental Income Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. I'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. Make sure you're subscribed or following the show, and you'll get notified as soon as that next episode comes out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.